Today's passage is Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the branch of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will lie with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious.
This world has changed. Many of you remember and think back to a day that is very different than today. A day when things were organized quite a bit differently. Some of you remember back to the days when Sundays was for God only. It was all about church, and it was about nothing else. Some of you long for those days and hope that they would come back. I can remember as a young child, it was not possible to shop on Sunday. Not at all. Eventually, they would open a few stores here and there, and slowly but surely, now all the stores are open. There was a time in our world when if you were going to do anything on Sunday, the only thing that was open was the church, both in the morning and in the evening. And many wish that it would get back to that. You see, the old way of the spiritual life has passed from our culture and is dead. The old way of the spiritual life has passed from our culture and is dead. And it doesn't appear that there's any resurrection for it. It's past. Many folks nowadays don't even think church is needed. I can be a good person without church. I can be who God wants me to be without a community of faith. The old ways have passed. It's not part of our culture anymore. It's dead. And some churches come together holding on to what in our culture is a dead way of life. Wondering, will it ever change? Will people ever come back to God? Will community worship be something that people treasure again? Will fellowship among Christians be something that people want? There's always a few. I venture to say that you can think about, as you drive to church in the morning and come past other houses, you can see cars that are still there, that are still going to be there until way past noon. And if you tell me you don't see that, then I want your driver's license, because you shouldn't be driving if you can't see that. The old way of the spiritual life that so many church people treasure is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. But yet many people go back and try to live that way. And they wonder why others don't. But here's the good news. God has a plan for a newness of the spiritual life to rise in the midst from the old. God has a plan for a newness of the spiritual life to rise in our midst from the old. It's never going to look like the old again. It's never going to be experienced like the old again. But God has a plan for a newness. And that newness that God has a plan for has existed from the very beginning. Go ahead and look at the Garden of Eden. Why does God put them out? Because he's afraid that they will eat from the tree of life and live in their sorry state for all eternity. That's why they're put out of the Garden of Eden. And from that very moment, God says there is a newness that will come. There is a newness that will happen. One major family moves to Egypt and becomes the greatest of all families and expands and broadens in such a way that the people of Egypt are scared of them. They're fearful of them because God continues to bless them over and above. There were less than 100 Hebrews that moved to Egypt. And they became over 600,000. The life that they knew before they moved to Egypt disappeared. But a newness came. And God brought a newness and brought them into a promised land. God brought a newness. It wasn't the same. They lost sight of God again. And in two different captivities, God carries them off in different places. And God brings a newness again. A newness that did not look like what was going on before. A newness that was something they'd never seen before. Folks, I think we should be looking for that newness that God has for our spiritual life, for our life as a community. We should be looking for that newness that's happening in our midst, that's coming up out of the old. You see, the image from the scriptures here is an incredible image. It's of a tree that has been cut down, a tree that doesn't exist anymore. And from the midst of that stump, in the midst of those roots, is a newness that's coming. Will the old tree exist again? No. But a newness that is coming. The old is not going to exist again. One of the amazing things about people living in what they remember to be the golden times, the good old days, oh, if it was just like that, everything would be fine. We seem to totally forget the hard things that happened during those times, and we only remember the good. We lose track of that. And God comes to us in the midst of what's going on for us, and God says, I have a newness plan. A newness planned for you. That newness includes there will be a leader who knows how to rule with justice and wisdom and who delights in the Lord. That's not happening in our culture right now, is it? A leader who knows how to rule with justice and wisdom and who delights in the Lord. It's not happening. But God says it is going to happen. Are you looking for it? Are you looking for it and seeing for it to happen? Herod got word that it was here. And he did everything he could to stop it. But still that newness came in the midst of an old. And it's different than what it was. You see, it's going to be different in such a way that not only the governing of society will be new, but also the order of creation will be set right again. It's not just the governing of society that's going to be new, but it's also the order of creation. Did you hear as Michael read the scriptures? The whole first part was about this leader who's coming. This leader who knows wisdom. This leader who knows how to judge correctly. This leader that has a great respect for the Lord and a desire to follow the Lord. And then the whole second part of the passage is about something that does not exist today. Does it? Creation is set right. It says the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. Is that not incredible? Is that not incredible? Those that eat and pursue other animals will lie down with those animals and eat together. For those of you that are scared of snakes, did you not hear what it said? The child will stick his hand into the nest of vipers and will not be harmed. Now, for some of you, I know that's incredible, isn't it? Because you're not going anywhere near one of them snakes. If you're like the lady I knew from a previous church, she didn't like any snakes whatsoever. I knew her, she was, I think, in her 90s, and she still tended a garden and could barely get around. And she'd be out in the garden hoeing and weeding, and she'd see a snake, and she'd look at him and say, now you sit right there. As she went back up to the house and got her special tool for taking care of that snake. You see, it's going to be different. A newness is coming, not only in the governing of society and culture, but also in all of creation. I can't imagine what it'll be like to sit down with a lion and have no fear. None whatsoever. Can you imagine that? It's a newness that's not here yet, but a newness that is coming. You see, all this newness happens from believing and following the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. All this newness happens from believing and following the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. And many people in our world have not learned that yet. And those that have often don't speak about it. And we have an incredible opportunity, especially during this time of the year, to speak about it. Because people have decorated their house with the hope of this newness. They've got all kinds of things around them in the stores, in the restaurants, in everywhere they go, about this newness that we as Christians know is coming in the midst of the old, that the Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And yet, we very often don't speak about it. We have an opportunity to let people know that we understand what that means. When we see a manger, we have an opportunity to tell people, do you understand what this really stands for? Do you understand what it means that the Christ child comes into our world? The government's going to change. And it's finally going to be just and full of wisdom and full of those who delight in the Lord. Creation is going to change. It all happens with the Messiah. You see, Advent for me is about preparing a new place. As a minister, I've celebrated Christmas over 20 years now. And each year it's new. I finally took the time this morning to set my manger up in my office. A manger that I've had since I was a kid. And if you come in to see it, there's a few things missing in it right now that won't be there till the appropriate time. There is no baby Jesus in the manger. I'm preparing for the Christ child to come again. I'm preparing for this newness that God has planned. So I get to look at it over the next couple of weeks with an empty manger. When we have Christmas Eve service, I'll put Jesus in the manger. And the other thing that's missing is these guys on this side. I'm not going to say wise men because some of you are going to tell me there's no such thing. They never showed up at the manger. They were never there the night that Jesus was born. No matter how many times you set it up this way, they weren't there. I had a professor that called that almost Bible. Scriptures say that they came when he was a child, not a baby. And there's a reason that Herod had all the children age 3 and under killed. Because it probably had been almost 3 years that they had traveled to come to see the Messiah. That night when the star appeared, they knew that it meant the Messiah is here. They weren't Jewish, but they knew what that meant. And they came to find the Messiah, and it took 3 years of traveling and searching before they came. So at my manger in my office, there's no wise men because they're not here yet. It's about preparing a place for this newness of life that God wants to bring to us. This newness that God wants to bring in the midst of a culture that could care less about Jesus Christ or God. Are you preparing a place? Are you moving the clutter out of the way that's gathered throughout the past year? Are you making sure that your schedule doesn't get so busy that you can't notice a new place for Jesus Christ? You see, that's the only way this newness of life comes, is through the Messiah. Not any other way. And people for centuries and centuries looked for the Christ to come. We're on the other side of that. But so many times we don't prepare for it. And we expect things to exist as they've existed for years and years and years. Are you preparing a place for the Christ child to come into your life? Have you prepared a place for this newness from this Messiah to come into your heart? Have you prepared a place for this newness from this Messiah to come into your heart? Let's pray. Lord, sometimes it's really hard to consider, because we have so many other things that we're working on, so many other things that we feel need to be done. And quite often we miss finding the place for the Messiah to come ever deeper into our lives. Lord, we need that. Because without the newness of you coming into our lives, again, in a deeper way, in a way that brings a deeper transformation and a new conversion of our life into something different, we just get caught up in what culture's doing. And we get caught up in this world. So Lord, help us to see that out of the old, a newness does come. And help us not to concentrate on the missing oldness, but that we might see where you're coming anew into our lives and bringing us life, bringing us hope, bringing us peace. Lord, please, help us to step where you want us to step, that we might experience you in a deeper way, in order to help this world see you better. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.